You're listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast,
episode 3.
Welcome to the Live Happier Longer podcast. We're your hosts, Molly Watts
and Angela McDade. We are here to help you build the habits of a happier, longer life.
Starting now.
All right, so the struggle right now for most of our friends is what?
Oh gosh, well, beyond the empty nest, which I think is just kind of a timely thing right at this moment, the thing that I hear about the most from people is dealing with their hormones.
And all the stuff that comes along with that.
Yeah, whether it's perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, it just seems that there's a lot of struggle that is involved with it in terms of how they feel about themselves and how they feel just in general.
And having to deal with, a lot of them are having to deal with weight gain that was never an issue before.
Yes. I don't know that it was never an issue for me, but it's definitely a worse issue now. To quote a phrase that you might like, I would say that I often feel a bit dodgy. Is that right? What's dodgy mean?
Dodgy is not quite right, I suppose. Or it sometimes means if somebody's a dodgy person, it means they're a bit...
shady?
Shady,
oh, yeah. Shoot. That's not what I meant then. I meant, you know, just off.
Yeah, off.
Like if you're having an off day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not dodgy?
No.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I know that we are certainly not, I know I'm certainly not the only person that deals with hormonal issues and the challenges of, you know, midlife that come along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today we have someone here that's going to help us, help our listeners, you know, with some tips on how to feel better.
Deal with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today's guest is Laurie Massicott. She is a certified holistic wellness coach, a nutritional coach, and sobriety coach.
Oh, yeah. Sobriety coach, which is cool because I think that's also, people are self-medicating and maybe...
Yeah, that's something that creeps up and people don't really notice it's happening.
Yeah. And she's also the host of a very nice podcast called 250 and Beyond.
Mm-hmm. And she generally works with women over 40, so that kind of falls into that perimenopausal, menopause and onwards, that kind of category.
Just helping them create better habits and feel better. Yeah. Cool. She's also a very active mom and wife and self-described multi-passionate student of life.
Here's Laurie Massicott.
Hi, Laurie.
Hey, Laurie.
Hi, how are you girls?
We are
both doing well.
Yeah, fantastic. We're excited to have you on our brand new podcast series, Living Happier Longer. And we just appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today and can't wait to get going.
Okay,
thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you so much. And before we started chatting here, we just gave you a little intro. And you told us that you're a certified nutrition coach and a holistic wellness coach. And you tend to work with people who are busy women over 40. And yeah, we would love to hear more about what you do and the people you work with.
Yeah, and I think also on a more personal note, you've also, and I think this is something that just I'm tremendously honored that you talk about and you're sharing with people, is you're a proud sober woman for almost 5 years now. You're coming up on your 5-year anniversary.
I am, which is just shocking. Every time I think about it, you know, I never thought that I would quit drinking. And really, when I quit drinking in 2013, that's when my life started to change and I started to really take on this healthy role. I wanted to get healthy. I wanted to be strong. And so I really started consistently exercising for the first time in my life. I went to the gym instead of drinking. And that's where I shifted my focus because I needed something else, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I did that. And then a couple of years later, I found this world of coaching. And at first, I got involved with Team Beachbody because of their platform with their workouts and their nutrition. I got involved with them. I started coaching there. And now I've branched out. I still do that, but I branched out on my own. And yes, I'm a certified nutrition coach. And I say holistic because everything I do is has a holistic approach to it. And then I also coach as a sober coach. I help women, you know, really get over what is the bottom of, you know, why they're drinking and why they're overeating and really why they're numbing themselves is the big thing.
Yeah.
And I believe in midlife, it's really something that has, you know, so many years, if you're doing it and you're in it for so many years, it's so hard to get out of. And you just think, this is going to be the rest of my life. And you're going to live with this feeling like I'm constantly drowning my sorrows. And you're not going to know what life really feels like until you just make that decision to stop. And that's where I'm at. I love helping women. I say over 40 because I do help a lot of women too in perimenopause and menopause. And that time of life is a wake-up call and where you really need to start making adjustments to your self-care, to what you're eating, to how you're thinking, and to how you're moving your body. And it all just comes together.
Yeah, and I think we should not gloss over the fact that you're also the host of a really fantastic podcast called To 50 and Beyond.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, it's wonderful. And I know that, you know, much like us, it's a way of helping more people. And that's really what motivates us. And I know we share that with you in common in terms of really wanting to help people. And certainly the things that you talk about, yes, and certainly the things that you're focused on at midlife are really the beginning stages of where we're taking people, which is, you know, developing habits in midlife that you are going to be sustainable into your 80s, 90s and beyond.
Yeah, I love that, you girls. I'm so excited for you to get this podcast out there because we need to rally and support each other during this time of life. And I always say midlife is the best life. It really is. When you just kind of get to this point where you're thinking, I don't care about certain things that I used to worry about and stress about anymore. You feel more free and you want to go after things that you've always wanted to do. It's life-changing. It's really mm-hmm. life-changing.
Yeah, I think that at midlife, you know, we've got enough experience looking in the past and we can see the future, right? We know there's years ahead of us. It's the time when we're really ready to make changes and we understand that we have opportunities and well, hopefully we do. I know that there are women that suffer thinking that they're getting older all the time and not having an optimistic attitude about that. I'm sure you've found that in people that you know, that you've coached, that they're feeling somewhat defeated or deflated at this stage. How do you help people battle that emotion?
It's tough. And the reason that I started really helping women in perimenopause is because I went through 8 years of perimenopause. I say H-E-double-L. I don't know if I could use bad language, but it was that. And I felt very alone because none of my friends were going through it. I mean, I started at around 40, 41. You know, I wasn't really aware of what was happening to my body. And you get in this point, I did. I mean, we're all different in how we handle it. I know that lifestyle is a big thing. You know, if you're really taking care of your body for so many years and you're eating right and you're exercising, you're going to have a little bit of an easier time. But for me, my whole life was spent overeating and yo-yo dieting and drinking too much and being sedentary. And it hit me overnight almost. It was just this weight, you know, that was put on me. And I thought nothing in my life was good. I didn't want to do anything. I had a horrible attitude. So I get it. When women come to me with that, if they're in the middle of it and they're in the thick of it, which is like what I want to say, it's
no pun intended.
I get it. We just have to work a little bit harder. I mean, you have to work harder to get out of that mindset. And it's tough. I mean, perimenopause, it brings on, you know, that foggy thinking and you're not sleeping well, you're maybe experiencing hot flashes and night sweats, and it's hard. It is, but there's a way around it. And I didn't take any HRT. I'm not saying bad or good things against that. It was my decision to not do anything. So I did it au naturel.
Au naturel.
Yeah, and one of the things we were chatting about earlier was that a lot of the time when you get to that stage, a lot of women just say, oh, this is what happens in midlife, and they don't take action to get themselves out of it. It's almost like they accept the fact that you are going to gain weight, you're going to feel, have that foggy feel, and you know, and you let yourself just sink into that negative thought that it's just, you get to this age and just everything's terrible. You know, one of the important things is to kickstart yourself out of that. So what would be some of the kind of the initial tips that you would try and get somebody to not just accept that this is how it is, but to get going, to turn things around and get out of that?
Could you say around? Could you say around again, please? Sorry, I love to have my Scottish partner. I like to listen to her say things.
I know. It's so relaxing. I'm listening.
And isn't it?
Like, oh,
I know. Hey. Then you're like, what did you ask? I don't remember.
It's just that kickstart. I get it. So a little bit of backstory. I was never disciplined with my, you know, eating or anything that I did. I was never disciplined. So I didn't become this person that all of a sudden changed her life. I mean, I have lost, since I started really in my early 40s, I've lost about 75 pounds. So
wow.
That's when you're at that stage of life and you're thinking, your doctors are telling you you're fine, you're too young, you're not going through anything, and then you're listening to them and then you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I feel horrible. And I was not one to go to the doctor. It sent me to the doctor because I was having so many symptoms. And so I really just became my own advocate. I really just started researching and reading and trying to find a way out. And the one thing that I always pushed against was nutrition. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, food doesn't make a difference. You know, food does not make a difference in how you feel. And I just used food as being on a diet, and I'm using air quotes, because I wanted to lose 5 pounds in a week. You know, that's mm-hmm. that was my diet. So when I started researching that, the first thing I did was started to change my food around. And then I started slowly adding in maybe some walking or some type of movement. But the first start is to really just talk to your doctor and then do your own research and then try to find a way that you can just easily start adding in things instead of taking it away. I think we all get so overwhelmed with the fact that we have to start eating better and taking care of our health, and we have to eliminate all this stuff from our diet, but really just adding in more water and adding in more vegetables, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe making some healthy swaps on some things. I used to be a big cracker and chip girl. Like, I would just eat carbs, you know, and I really started eliminating those with, you know, crunchy apples. And I mean, this sounds like, yeah, we hear this all the time, but carrots and things like that. And then I added in some raw nuts, and then I just completely got rid of the chip and the cracker addiction. So
it does sound so simple.
It's not easy, but it can be really simple.
Yeah. And I think as well, you know, if you can, again, the whole thing is on mindset, is if you come to the conclusion that diet can be a way of changing things, it's like if somebody told you your arm will fall off if you eat another chip, then you're not going to eat another chip. So
I don't know. I might eat another chip anyway. I'd be walking around with one arm.
You know, so it's just...
There
it's,
are people that would dare. And they,
yeah. You know, so
right.
It's kind of... It's like, okay, how important is this for you? No, and but you have to come to that realization that the way to solve this is actually to take action. And it's like you were saying, it's not eliminating, it's actually doing something as opposed to taking it away. So it's trying to get your head around doing a positive change. You know, it's reframing everything in such a way that it's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing.
Yeah, definitely, especially in midlife. You know, we've all been on so many diets and we're just confused as we ever were with how many ways of eating there are out there and what to follow, and especially now because our hormones are shifting and the weight's shifting and everything is shifting, and it's like, wow, I mean, you know, you can gain weight rapidly if you don't get on top of it now. It is a thing.
I know that in your coaching programs, and you talk a little bit about this on your website, is about customizing things to each person. I'm sure one of the things I think that is overlooked with regards to weight and even alcohol, you kind of mentioned it, is people are usually using food and alcohol to self-medicate. They're trying to cover something up. You know, they're using it to solve a problem that has absolutely nothing to do with food or alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, do you find that the women that you work with, when you're talking with them with coaching, it's really probably, I mean, it goes beyond just changing exercise and changing eating, because there's something inside that needs...
Yeah, there's something else that's a reaction to it. The eating and drinking is a reaction to something else.
Different little techniques that I create to help women, and we work on a lot about story and reinventing these old stories that we were telling ourselves for years, and really just get connecting to your body and your mind and saying, you know, what is really going on? I have to stop it. I don't have, you can't keep putting this Band-Aid on it. What is the real problem? And you know what it is? It's taking the time and sticking with it and being really consistent. And that's when you're going to break through. So that's what I help women do. And it's a lot about mindset.
So for you, what was it, you know, when you look back now, what was it that you were trying to Band-Aid?
Stress, social anxiety, feelings that I wasn't worthy and that, you know, I had weight issues. Yeah, you know, and I have to say, I have a wonderful husband who's been supportive of me for 21 years, and I have a great son. He's 17 now. And I have this, you know, great life, but I worried constantly about everything. I mean, it was just a vicious cycle of worry. I would worry about health issues. I would worry about my mom's health issues. I would worry about money. Of course, money was always a big thing. And I lost my job right around 40 that I had been in for 20 years because of the economy, and I had to start over. So it was all of that. I was constantly just pouring Chardonnay down my throat to just mask all of that. Feel good for one day, feel good for a few hours, and then I would feel horrible for 3 days after.
Right.
I started drinking when I was a teenager, so I didn't quit till 45. I was a pretty heavy drinker for all that time. So.
Wow.
I know. I never thought I would be talking about this kind of stuff. So you can change your life. That is my message. You know, just keep going. You've got to stick with it. But, you know, the simple things that I do are journaling. I mean, I love to write in my journal every day. And that's where I call my hashing out sessions with myself. So I just, if something's bothering me, I got to get it out. If you leave it inside, you don't tell people about it, then you're your own accountability. And we know how that pans out sometimes. I mean, for me, I would just let myself off the hook for everything. But once I started talking about it openly and writing stuff down, I would think, well, yeah, I don't have to drink, or I don't have to overeat and not do the things that I really want to do, like look better and feel better. I don't need to do that kind of stuff. I can find other things to do instead. And it's just a process.
Yeah, and that actually, like what you're saying, they works perfectly with our planner, where we have a designated area each day where, you know, you do journal all of that stuff. You know, you try to figure out what it is that's bothering you. And so we have, at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, we have our daily actions, which is give, where we give thanks for what we have. And also we take a note of what we want to let go, and they both go hand in hand. But actually, sometimes you don't really know what's going on until you actually write it down and you read it back. And if you are doing this every day, you kind of start to see, you know, what a pattern could be. If something is bothering you and you're writing it down, and then, you know, after a couple of weeks, you're like, you know, that bothers me a lot. I really have to change something up, because I am constantly complaining about whatever that thing may be. So journaling is, you know, it has been proven that writing things down definitely does.
Definitely. And what you're saying is, and I'm excited for your planner. I'm really excited for that for you girls. But what you're saying too is, like, you're writing in it every day, but then the best thing about a journal is to go back and read it. That's when it's, you know, you don't even have to journal. You can just sit down with your journal and go back and read what you've already written. And that helps so much.
Yeah. But also the you know, the fact that you have that, what's the word?
don't know. Keep looking.
Oh, gosh.
Accountability?
Yeah, it's like that accountability where you look at different things that have gone on in your life and how you react to it. And if you're actually taking note of what it is, then you can make the changes, you know. And, well, once you realise what those changes need to be, you can, yes, you can start changing things.
It's getting deep. she's off on her own Scottish tangent. I don't know. She's sitting here. She looks very reflective. She's figuring it out.
I'm just trying to find the word accountability. That was hard.
So, Laurie, you do different things. So you do group coaching, then you have individualized coaching. Talk to us a little bit about what you do in terms of how you work with women in those two different ways.
Well, you know, I love the group coaching. So I do group coaching, and it's fun. It's just a really supportive group where I don't spend a lot of time. Well, I really don't spend that much time one-on-one. I have a program that the girls go through, and it just personalizes it for them. So it's their goal and what they want to do, the foods they like, the foods they don't like, their habits. It tracks them daily. And it's just, it's a really cool program. I absolutely love it. And that's why I personalize everything, because I could throw up a boilerplate program, but, you know, the one thing that I know for sure is one diet does not work for everybody. And it has to be, like we talked about, the mindset. It starts with those behaviors and habits, and that's what my programs are all about. So the one-on-one, right now I have a 12-week course, or it's a package, 12 weeks, and then I have a 8-week, and I think I need to still add my 6-week up, 6 weeks up there, but I think 8 weeks, and especially 12 weeks, is where you're going to see the most change, because you need a little bit longer to work with a coach and get that stuff down so you keep the weight off, both mentally and physically, for life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that.
Well, and I have to say, I looked at, we're going to share a link to your website and to your programs in our show notes, of course, just getting it out there. Your 8-week program is really reasonable. I mean, it's super affordable. Yeah. And really such a small investment. I think I'm quoting it correctly at $297.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a small price to pay for investing in yourself.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah. It really is. And I believe in that kind of stuff because, I believe in women should put an investment into their health. They really should. You know, you have all these free things that you can try, and that only works for maybe a day. I mean, honestly, it's like, if you need the accountability, you need the support, you gotta put some skin in the game. And that's just part of self-care too. That's what I believe. So yeah, I try to offer really affordable programs. I have a course that I'm going to launch in September. That's going to be my biggest priced package. And this is something I'm still working on, so I don't have all the details, but I work with women really closely, one-on-one, and I'm there every day for them.
Which is awesome. And I think you're right. I think that it's that one-on-one coaching that, well, I mean, some people can do it in the group and it works really well for them. And if it's just maybe they just need that encouragement from and accountability across a few training partners, so to speak. But once you get that one-on-one coaching, it's, I think, when people can really make big strides if they need to.
Yeah, it is. And I offer an exclusive package that I don't have the price on my website because I have to, you know, talk to the woman before, you know, to set it up to see what she wants to work on. And I am just adding in a little bit of sober coaching, which is really nutrition based, but it's also the same thing about behaviors and habits and helping women break free from the cycle of drinking too much.
I think I shared this briefly with you in a previous, when we've had a previous conversation, but one of the real inspirations in us starting Five for Life and what motivates me is helping women as they age to, especially women who are drinking and potentially drinking too much. There's my mother battled alcoholism unsuccessfully for 40 years and actually, you know, died from the disease at age 80. She was a really good alcoholic. There's not many people that can tick it for 40 years, but it's been an inspiration because I want to help people avoid going down that path. And I think that women start drinking more at midlife because of the stresses and the transitions and a lot of change that's happening, whether it's menopause or empty nesting or their careers. Maybe they've decided to retire or stop their full-time career and look at something else. But there's a lot of things that happen at midlife, and some women face that change by drinking more. Have you seen that too, Lori?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And even women who have already been drinking maybe for most of their lives, they either pick it up more, you know, they add more, or women just start drinking in the middle of life. I remember my mom didn't start drinking till her 40s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is a thing. And you get a lot of sadness during this time of life, and the empty ass, that's huge, and almost a depression. So they're self-medicating and not realizing, oops, this has gone too far. And, you know, the older we get, it's harder to break free of those kinds of habits. So you really have to be self-aware and look around and say, wow, maybe I am drinking too much. Because you know what? Some people don't even realize it, that they have a problem until they quit, like me. So even though somebody would have said, wow, you are an alcoholic and you've been an alcoholic for most of your life, I didn't even realize it until about 90 days sober. So then I started questioning, well, I really had a problem because of the fact that it was so hard and just the fact of how I felt sober. So it's a time, like I said, it's a wake up call, and maybe just look at your drinking and look at how you're nourishing your body with what types of food and thoughts that are racing in, and find some sort of outlet to help you with the stress and anxiety.
So I know that when my mom's attempts to stop drinking, oftentimes she replaced that with sugar, with candies.
Oh, yeah.
Like she was, you know, she thought she craved sugar, or I don't know.
Yes.
She didn't think she did. She did.
So did I. Yeah,
and
definitely.
Did you have to kind of wean yourself off that too? Did you have to, I mean, I'm sure it all goes hand in hand.
It did. Yeah. I mean, honestly, but what I told myself when I quit drinking was whatever it takes. So I'm going to not drink whatever it takes. So that meant I could eat cookies and candy and cake, and I was okay with that. I really was. It was just like, okay, that's fine. It was almost like a reward or a treat for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of years after that started, you know, I realized I did a Whole 30, which is a kind of an elimination diet and really hones in on foods that are affecting your body. And during that time, I basically gave up dairy. I mean, we do have a little bit of mozzarella cheese, you know, on our pizza and stuff, but the dairy was big for me. And the sugar. And so I thought, wow, I need to really start cutting back on that. It's like, oh, one more thing I have to work on in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I'm still dealing with it. It's not as bad as it used to be. But yeah, I crave sweets. And I got on a real sugary gum addiction too. I was eating gum like crazy.
Uh-huh.
After I quit drinking. So,
you know, just like you said, whatever works. I mean, you know, that's true.
Yeah.
But I just was wondering, I'm sorry, that was a side note, but I just was interested if you'd seen that too.
Yeah, definitely.
So as far as, let's talk a little, we've talked quite a bit about nutrition and about mindset and that kind of stuff, and a little bit touched on the exercise. I know you said you originally did Beachbody and you went to the gym and you really got hardcore into the gym. What is your, you know, strategy with coaching women? Let's say that women that have been really sedentary, you know, or they've just taken on to, they're just really doing nothing. They're starting.
Yeah, from scratch. They've never exercised in their youth, and now here they are, want to start something.
Start slow and start with what you have, which is your body weight, and you can walk and you can dance. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do. I think strength training right now needs to be more of a priority in women's lives to, you know, strengthen their muscles. I mean, this is a time of osteoporosis and breaking bones, you know, as we get older. So just adding in strength training with just basic squats and lunges, and then you can add in some light weight. It's life-changing. It will change your body more than anything by doing those types of exercise. And I don't exercise for a real long time, and I still use my Beachbody workouts. That's what I do, and I have done for 3 years now. And it tells you what to do. That's why I liked it, and I needed it, because I didn't know what to do at the gym. I was kind of lost, and I didn't want to get a personal trainer because I was too shy and embarrassed. So I just thought, oh, I'll start working out at home and doing it. And that's where I started to change everything. So just a basic 30-minute workout 3 or 4 times a week, that's all you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just had a thought, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
Do you know how that happens when you have a thought and then all of a sudden it's gone?
Yes, I'm in menopause, remember now.
Yeah, me too, right? Oops. Yeah. Let me think there for a second. I was always an athlete, and I know all about what I should be doing, but just true confessions, I mean it's daily action number one for us, move. Mm-hmm. That's our daily action number one. It's one of the things that people fear most about aging is loss of mobility, and it's highly preventable by simply moving.
Moving
in your midlife and continuing to move right up through your 80s and 90s, and it's not something that you can really ever stop doing. But for me, I'll just be honest, I mean walking, sure, yeah, that's good, I can do that, and I know what I can and should do, but I just loathe it when I think about it. Isn't that sad? I want to be happy about it, but I just, every day I get up and I go, got to go exercise.
You do. So how do you feel though once you start? Do you feel better?
I do. Every single time after I do it, I feel much better. And I know that should be the reward every day. You know, I know that ahead of time, but still. I mean, what do you find when people are just really having a hard time getting motivated? What's your strategy for that?
Well, I think motivation is fleeting. I don't really think that you need motivation. You just need a reason why. Like, you know, I need to do this for my health. You know, like you just said, for just moving our bodies as we get older is so important. And especially for our stress and anxiety, we're reaching for creams and topical things to put on. But exercise and nutrition is the best. I don't really believe in anti-aging, but it's the best anti-aging treatment out there. And really, I dread it most days too, so
it's just kind of the just do it mentality. Yeah, you know, and actually,
yeah,
I always tell my kids, you know, when they say I don't feel like doing something, and my standard answer is do it anyway.
Yeah. You know, honestly, and especially in midlife, we're not kids anymore, we're adults, we're women, and we should honor ourselves and our body and our words to ourselves. You know, if we commit to something, we need to do it and stop giving ourselves this way out.
Yeah, and what would you personally, and both as a coach, when would you suggest the best time to exercise is?
I think it's the morning. For me, it's the morning. And I think and when you're in perimenopause and menopause, I call it the morning dread. And I hear from a lot of women that they wake up, they haven't slept, so it's so hard. And you just have that dread. You just feel the day is so overwhelming to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the time. Because if you have to be up to go to work, you're up anyway, you might as well get up a little bit earlier and put in some form of exercise for maybe even 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that will change your mood, get your metabolism going, get you revved up, and you're going to have a brighter outlook on the day. And what I always tell women is, you know, do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 10 minutes later at night. You know, if it's yoga, if it's stretching, if it's walking, like I said, dancing, or if it's weight training, do it in small chunks if it seems too overwhelming for you, but just do it.
Yeah, or use the stairs instead of the elevator. It's just simple stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes, just moving your body as opposed to sitting all the time, because sitting is the new smoking. You know, it's like they say that if you're sitting for such a long time, it has almost the same effect on your health as someone who smokes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bad for us. So It's just that. It's just that. If you find yourself setting too much, get up and move. Get, you know, go clean a room or go outside and walk around. Or if you're in an office, go walk around your building. I used to work in an office for 20 years and I sat all day long and I worried and stressed all day long. And that was when I was at my heaviest weight. So I know how it is. I just think moving is the best thing for us.
Fantastic. So I know, like you said, you've got another big project or another launch coming in September. But if somebody wants to get started or wants to work with you right now, let's give them the URL of your website.
Yeah, it's just my name, Lori Massicott, MASSICOT.com. And you can go there and we can set up a call. My email is there. Everything is there for me. I'm pretty active on Instagram. As of late, I haven't been because I've been working so much. But you can find me on Instagram, 250 and beyond.
Awesome.
And on my podcast, too. You can listen there. So I'm pretty much, I think I'm the only Lori Massicott in the world. So.
Well, that's nice. That works, huh?
Yes.
Well, Lori, we just appreciate you so much. We appreciate you coming on today. We know that, again, your 250 and Beyond podcast is excellent, ladies. So if you're listening to us here at Live Happier Longer, we strongly suggest you go over and listen to Lori's podcast as well, 250 and Beyond. You're kind of being our guest today, but you generally have guests on your show that are women that are reinventing their lives. And tell us a little bit about that real quickly.
Yeah, I'm pretty new too, you guys. So I'm only on episode 23, just actually aired around in February. And I just thought, I'm going to go for this and just really celebrate women in the middle of life and have awesome women on to talk about health and wellness, entrepreneurship, sobriety. I have interviewed one of your good friends, Molly,
yep,
about fashion and business. And I love it. It lights me up. I absolutely love podcasting.
Super nice. Like I said, I think people will really enjoy going over there and listening and learning as well. And again, for anyone who wants to need some help in the areas of losing weight or just getting healthier or feeling better, and if you are struggling with drinking too much, go visit LoriMassicott.com. And we appreciate you being here today.
Oh, thank you, girls. I'm honored. Thanks for having me on. You girls are doing it. I'm so proud of you.
Yes. Yeah, well,
we're just doing it.
Yeah. We're just doing it. Yeah. That's right. And so thanks, Lori. And
yeah, thanks so much.
We look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lori. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast.
Now it's time to move,
learn,
share,
give,
and let go. 5 daily actions to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See you next week.